Okay, so we're going to do an area in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. And it's an area that I think really uncovers a lot of many yesodos, many fundamental things, both in the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, but probably in general about tefillah, beyond Rosh Hashanah. There's a general ideas about tefillah. All right, we'll start right at the top of the daf. Right at the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, the first word, Seder Brachos. Okay, we'll go slow. If anybody has any questions, feel free and ask. All right, so the Mishnah says, Seder Brachos. The order of the Brachos. Omer, Avos, Ugvuros, Ukidushas Hashem, Vekolel Malchias Imohen, Ve'eno Tokeya. So, what do? You say Mogen Avraham, that's Avos, Gvuros is Mechaya Mesim, Kidushas Hashem is, Atah Kadosh, which during the year, of course, ends with Hakel HaKadosh, but on Rosh Hashanah is HaMelech HaKadosh. It's of course, expanded on Rosh Hashanah. Right? You have V'chein Tein Pachtecha, V'chein Tein Kavod, V'chein Tzadikim, Yerov Yismachu. I mean, it's an expanded version of the shorter Atah Kadosh that we have all year round. V'kolel Malchius Imohen, Veino Tokeya. And you put the added bracha, well, here it's not an added bracha, but the added malchius, you put as part of the Kiddushas Hashem. So somewhere in the middle of Atah Kadosh, you put in Aleinu L'Shabeach, the introductory paragraph, then the psukim of malchius, and then the concluding tefillah, and then your chosem, I assume, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh. Which doesn't sound too far-fetched to put Malchius with HaMelech HaKadosh. Ve'eno Tokeya, but you don't blow the shofar at that point. Then it continues. Kedushas Hayom V'Tokeya. Now you say Kedushas Hayom, which is the tefillah that you say really on any Yom Tov. That's usually the middle bracha, is the Kedushas Hayom, which deals, of course, with the theme of the day. In this case, on Rosh Hashanah, it's not such a crazy idea to have a machzor if you have one, but not necessary, but it's good. So, I'm going to take a look at it. I don't remember these things well by heart. So you have, typical Kiddush Sayom. Atav achartanu mikol amim. Vatiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'avos. Yom hazikaron hazeh. Yom trua mikra kodesh. Zeichel etzias mitzrayim. Uvnei chata'enu. Typical, that's in Musaf, but it's similar in Shachris. There's the typical middle bracha that you would have in any Yom Tov. Okay? And if it's Musaf, of course, you mentioned the Karbonos. And then Yechosem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech HaKol HaAretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikara, V'Tokeya. And then you sound the shofar. Zichronos, now you say the added Zichronos, V'Tokeya. So Zichronos is normal. You simply start off Atah Zocher, Masei Olam, and then you say the Psukim of Zichronos, and then you have the final Tefillah, and you have the conclusion, Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher HaBris, and you're tokeya. Then what do you have? Then you have shofros. That starts with Atah Neglesa, Banan Kvodecha. Right, it talks about Har Sinai, which is the ultimate Gilu Yishchina. And then you have the Psukim of Shofros. And then you have the ending Tfila, which is Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu Tekav Shofar Gadol Cheruseinu. And Yechosein Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Kol Truas Amo Yisrael Berachamin. And Yitokeya. So you have Tekios after Kedushas Hayom, you have Tekios after Zichronos, and you have Tekios after Shofros. Ve'omer Avoda, then you say Avoda, which is Ritzei, with Hamachazir Shchinoso Litzion, Hoda, which is Modim and Hatov Shimcha Lachan El Hodos, Ubirkas Kohanim, which is Sim Shalom. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said to him, Im eino tokeya lamalchias lama hu maskir. Now right now we're not going to get into the Gemara about that, because the Gemara is going to qualify that statement. But let's just learn plain, straightforward Mishnah for the moment. So Rabbi Akiva didn't like this. He said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, I don't understand. You're saying Malchias in Kedushas Hashem, and you're not being Tokeya after that section. So why are you saying it? In other words, for face value, Rabbi Akiva couldn't tolerate the idea that you have the added section of Malchius not being qualified with Tekios at its conclusion. So what did Rabbi Akiva say? Ella, rather, Omer, Avos, Gvuros, Kedushas Hashem, V'kolel Malchius im Kedushas Hayom. So Rabbi Akiva said, no, here's the right way to do it. Say the first three brachas normally, and then put Malchius together with Kedushas Hayom, which is, of course, the way we have it in our Machzor. We have like Rabbi Akiva. So we start off Atav Achartanu Mikol HaMim, right? We start off with the Kedushas Hayom. Then we have Atitin Lan Hashem HaKinu B'Yavos, Yom HaZikaron HaZeh, da-da-da-da, U'mipnei Chataenu, and then we have the Psukim that talk about the Korban Musaf of that day, okay, and of course, and if it's Shabbos, he had Psukei Shabbos, etc. And then, after you finish talking about the Kedushas Hayom, now we start Aleinu L'Shaveach L'Adon HaKol. Now you have the beginning of the Malchias. And then the conclusion is Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu Meloch Al Kol HaOlam Kulo B'Chodecha, and Yechosein, you conclude Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech HaKol HaOretz, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Yom HaZikaron. So you have Malchias and the Kedushas Hayom tied together. And you're Tokeya. And you're Tokeya. Zichronos, V'Tokeya, Shofros, V'Tokeya, V'Omer, Avoda, V'Hoda, U'Birkas Kohanim. Okay? So the main difference as presented in the Mishnah between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is, do you put Malchias with Kedushas Hayom, or do you put Malchias with Kedushas Hashem? And then the other difference will be, as a result, that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you're not Tokeya for Malchias. Instead, you're only Tokeya for Kedushas Hayom. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, the Tekios will be related to the Malchias, because the Malchias will be with the Kedushas Hayom, and then you'll be Tokeya. Okay? Those are the basic facts of the Mishnah. Any questions? So, I think a few questions do need to be raised. Question one. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in fact, why don't you? Why aren't you Tokeya after Malchias? After all, you are Tokeya after Zichronos and Shofros, and Malchias is the third section that's specially added for Rosh Hashanah. So why aren't you Tokeya by Malchias? So for whatever reasons he puts Malchias with Kedushas Hashem, okay, that's very nice. But why aren't you Tokeya? Why aren't you Tokeya? That's one question. And then, of course, obviously, we'd like to understand what is really the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva. But we're not going to address that yet because you really have to do the Gemara first to really understand Rabbi Akiva's question. So we'll hold off with that question for a moment. But there is one other question that would be nice to answer, which is, why does the Mishnah really have to detail the whole Amida, the whole tefillah? In other words, why does it have to say Seder Brachos, Omer, Avos, Gvuros, da-da, and then after it gets done, it says V'Omer Avoda, V'Hoda, Birkas Kohanim? I mean, we don't know what a Shemone Esrei looks like. And you see, when you get to Rabbi Akiva, here it comes again. The whole thing all over again. Like, why does it have to go out of its way to detail the entire Amida? I mean, we know it. It's well known to us. And it's very interesting, if you take a look in the Gemara, just go down three lines down in the Gemara. Okay, you see where it says Gimel Mem? Just go three lines down from there. You see it says Tana Rabbanan? Literally, straight down from Gemara. One, two, third line. It says Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Minayin Sheomrim Avos, Shenemar, Havel Hashem Bnei Elim, Uminayin Sheomrim Gvuros, Shenemar Havel Hashem Kavod Va'oz, Uminayin Sheomrim Kedushos, Shenemar Havel Hashem Kvod Shmo Yishtachel Hashem Badros Kodesh, Uminayin Sheomrim Malchias Zichronos V'Shofros, etc., etc. Why does it have to ask here? How do you know you say Mogen Avram? How do you know you say Mechaya Mesim? How do you know you say Hakel Hamelach HaKadosh? And it happens to be that's a Gemara in Gemara Megillah. It's an open Gemara Megillah that discusses, how do you know what makes up the elements of the Shemone Esrei? And it's the exact same stuff, same sukkim, same everything. What do you need it here? The Gemara should have started Minayin Sheomrim Malchias Zichronos Shofros B'Tfilah. And we get what a tefillah is. We know what a tefillah looks like. Why do you have to go through the same question about Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem? There's nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. That's just a universal idea that applies all year round. So you not only see it in the Mishnah, but you also see it in the Braisa that's brought down by the Gemara. That the Gemara feels very compelled, I mean the Braisa, to prove that you say Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem. But why? Why? Is there a Havamina that Shemone Esrei should look differently on Rosh Hashanah completely? You shouldn't start off with Avos? I mean, that's the tefillah all year round. I don't care if it's during the week, if it's Shabbos, if it's Yontif. You always have Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem. And your last three brachos are always Avoda, Hodah, and Shalom, because that's always, you know, that's like the Rambam says, Midoraisa, you always have to start the tefillah with Shevach, and the three brachos of Shevach are Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem, and you have to always conclude your tefillah with Hodah. That doesn't change. So why does the Mishnah have to spend time spelling out every detail, every prat? And why does the Braisa have to approve it all over again, as if we don't know what a Shmon Esrei looks like? So those are the two questions that I want to immediately address. Namely, again, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan blow the shofar after Malchius? And two, why does the Mishnah have to spell out the whole Shmon Esrei? And then when we do the Gemara, we'll get into the Machlokas and understand Rabbi Akiva. But let's just stick to those, you know, keep it isolated for a moment. Okay? Alright. Okay, let's take a look now. Go back to Daf Chavav Amid Aleph. Chavav Amid Beis. I'm sorry, Chavav Amid Beis. I know I've done this Mishnah Gemara in the past, so it'll be a chazara for some people. The Mishnah is Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah on Chav Vav Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says like this. We're not going to do the whole thing. We're going to skip around here a little bit just to get a basic point. So the Mishnah says, Shofar shel Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'el Poshet. The shofar of Rosh Hashanah is, a Ya'el, Rashi says, is a type of a buck. I don't know the particular buck it is. Rashi says it's a steinbuck. Something in the deer family, in the buck family. So the shofar Rosh Hashanah is a Ya'el Poshet, which means it does not have any curve in it. It's a straight horn. Okay, it has to be straight. Okay. That's the Tanakhama's opinion. Now skip down to the end of that Mishnah. The last two lines of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Rosh Hashanah Tokin B'Shel Zecharim. Rabbi Yehuda says in Rosh Hashanah, you're Tokeya with males. And it means here, males like as in a ram. Okay? Meaning that it has to be kafaf. It has to be bent. The shofar has to have a bend in it. Alright? And that will become more clear in the Gemara when it explains the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Reb Yehuda. So let's skip down to the Gemara. Okay, and from the bottom of the Gemara, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up, the last two words on the line, B'mai Kamiflagi. What are they arguing about? And Rashi says, B'mai Kamiflagi, Tanakhama Rabbi Yehuda. So this B'mai Kamiflagi is explaining exactly the machlokas I just told you in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "B'maika miflagi, what are they arguing about? Whether or not you should have a straight shofar or a bent shofar?" Mar savar b'Rosh Hashanah, kama dekaya finish daite tfei miley. One holds that a Rosh Hashanah, the more the person is, his mind is bent, is like subjugated, is better. And that should be reflected in the shofar. Okay. Now skip a line, because then they first talk about Yom Kippur, but I don't want to talk about Yom Kippur. So skip a line, and then you have Umar Savar B'Rosh Hashanah Kama D'Poshet Inish Daite Tvei Miley. And the other guy says, no. The more a person's mind is pashat, straight, is better. What's going on here? What does this mean? So take a look at Rashi. Kama de kayef inish. It's on the left-hand side, Rashi. It's a little bit higher up than the Gemara. It says, Kama de kayef inish bitfilaso. So Rashi says like this. Kama de kayef inish bitfilaso panav kivushin la'aretz tvei adif. The more a person is bent in his tefillah, his face towards the ground is considered better. Tvei adif. Mishum v'hoyu eini v'libi sham. Because the pasuk says in Malachim that Hashem told Shlomo that my presence will be in the Migdash that you built. That's what it means. V'hoyu eini v'libi sham. Okay. Hilkach b'Rosh Hashanah diletfilo lahazkir akedas Yitzchak ba, and therefore Rosh Hashanah, that it's for tfila and to remember the akedas Yitzchak, that's why the shofar is there. Be'inan kfufin, you require bent. So again, Rashi's saying that the more a person is bent in his tfila is better. Why? Because the pasuk says that God's presence is in the Migdash. What does that mean? How would you explain that? And what's that got to do with my tefillah? I'm not in the Migdash. In other words, Migdash, by definition, is considered Lifnei Hashem. Right? Like anytime you have in the Torah the expression, like, Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, that always means Migdash. So Migdash is always considered Lifnei Hashem. So when you are considered to be in a state that you're Lifnei Hashem, you're Omeid Lifnei Hashem, so then your posture should reflect the physical, the philosophical reality that basically we are nothing before the infinite. It's like Ke'eved Lifnei Rabba. So therefore, in tefillah, where tefillah is, even though it's not Migdash, but tefillah is considered Lifnei Hashem. Right? Normally when we walk around, we don't have the state of Lifnei Hashem. It's certainly in halachic terms, or in the way we are acting, is not, we don't have to act as if we're literally Lifnei Hashem. But during tefillah, That's a performance, that's an activity that its very essence is Lifnei Hashem. So what position should you be in? Kafuf. Kafuf. Because of that reality.
Is that how they were in the Migdash?
In the Migdash?
Yeah, did they actually walk around like that? Or is this a philosophical idea?
Yeah, I don't know if they had to be... That's a good question. Hold on a second. Yeah, the Rambam says, under the mitzvah of... Umigdashi tiro. So first of all, the Rambam says, mitzvah say liyira min amigdash, shenemar umigdashi tiro, velo min amigdash ata yare, ela memishat siva al yirazo. It's not the migdash that you have awe and fear, but... it's God. The Migdash just represents that reality. Then the Rambam says, Lo yakil odam es rosho kineged shar mizrachi shel azara shu shar niknor mishu mechuvet kineged kodesh hakadoshim v'chol hanichnas lazara yahaleich benachas v'mokam shemutu lo likanes l'sham. You have to walk slowly. You can't run through the Migdash, through the azara. V'yira atzmo shu ome lifnei ha'adon Hashem. And he should see himself as if he's standing before the Master God. Sha'om shenemar. V'yu einai v'livi sham kol ha'yomim. U'mahalech be'emo v'yira v'fachad u'ra'oda. Shenemar b'veis elokim nahalech b'ragesh. So you see, you do have to have a hiluch that reflects Ema Yirud Fachar Urada. There might even be more. All right, something interesting to examine further. But yeah, the answer is there is an idea of how you walk in Migdash, the way you walk and the way you act in Migdash is as if you're Omei Lifnei Hashem. So, coming back over here, so tefillah, of course, is in its very essence Lifnei Hashem. That's what tefillah is. So therefore, in tefillah, you should be kafuf, the halacha says. And therefore, what does Rashi say? Therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, where the very shofar is its objective, is for tefillah, be'inan kefufin. In other words, the shofar should reflect that idea. The very shofar should, since it's letefillah ba, since its purpose is tefillah, the shofar should reflect that concept. Man being subjugated before God. That's what Rashi says to explain the side that holds kafuf. Now let's skip to the next Rashi. Let's take a look how Rashi explains kama de poshet feyadif, that you should be straight. So Rashi says mishum nisa levavenu el kapayim. And the rest of the pasuk is El Kel Bashamayim. Because the pasuk in Eicha says, we will raise our hearts El Kapayim, to our hands, to our palms, towards God in the heaven, El Kel Bashamayim. So what image is that? That's the person with outstretched arms towards God, so to speak. So the person is straight up, according to that pasuk. He's reaching out, upward. So he's not bent over. So what does Rashi say? Hilkach, therefore, b'Rosh Hashanah b'pshutin. Therefore, Rosh Hashanah, the shofar should be pashut. Why? D'letfilahu. Because its purpose is tefillah. So what do you see from these two Rashis? What do you see? What you see, it's whatever this machlokas is, and it's very interesting because both sides, you see Rashi holds that it's always because shofar is tefillah. In other words, and the real machlokas is really not about the shofar, it's really about what is the proper posture of a human being when they're involved in tefillah. Should the person be bent or should the person be straight? You have two different competing ideas here. Which is better? Which is preferable? But whatever you're going to say that machlokes is, one thing you see from Rashi, that the machlokes of whether or not the shofar is bent or straight is because both opinions hold that the shofar, in its very essence, is tefillah. And that has to be reflected in the very shape of the shofar. The shofar has to reflect that idea. The demand of whether the shofar should be bent or straight is predicated on a question of what is the preferable posture in tefillah. But both sides hold the shape is determined by one thing. It's not like a machlokas, I hold it's tefillah, and he holds it reflects some other idea. No. Rashi says they both hold it's because of tefillah. That shofar is tefillah. And since it's tefillah, now the question is, what's preferable in tefillah? But whatever's preferable in tefillah will automatically, memela, be the halacha by shofar. So you see, shofar is a din of tefillah. And that's a daraisa. Because the question of the shape of the shofar is a daraisa question. It's not a derabbanan. So you see that the shofar, according to the Mishnah, as explained by Rashi, and I don't know anyone who argues with Rashi, is because it's based on the idea of tefillah. Shofar is tefillah. Shofar is tefillah. Yep. Yetosis says the same thing, by the way. In that long Tosis, Shal Ya'el Pashat, he says the same thing. Yeah, Tosis Obli says, Shatakia Litzfila, Ulizikara. Shofar, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is Tfila. Okay? Now, I don't know if you guys remember, I'm sure we discussed this a few years ago. What kind of idea is, what does it mean that shofar is tefillah? What kind of idea is shofar is tefillah? So the truth of the matter is, it's a very, it's a deep idea. There's a lot to say about that, but we'll keep it simple. As simple as we can, actually. And that is to say that there's two types of tefillah. There's tefillah bepeh, where a person enunciates. He enunciates before God. But then there's another tefillah. There's a tefillah where no words are said. And what tefillah is that? So that you have to already know the basic idea of shofar. You see, shofar is, it's Yom Trua, Zichron Trua. And what does Trua mean? Trua in the Chumash, Unkelus and Torah Shebaal Peh translates, it means Yabava, a cry. It's a cry. And that's why we have, right, Shvarim and Trua. Those are two types of cries. And we can talk about that another time, what the two types of cries are philosophically, psychologically. But it's a cry. It's a Yom Yabava. It's a day of cry. So the way the shofar is a tefillah is because it's simply, it's in a sense, it's really philosophically a higher form of tefillah. Because what you're saying really is before God is, I'm an existence that could really do nothing more before you than just simply cry and let you know that I'm a fragile human being. Because the truth is, to enunciate really has a certain absurdity to it before God. Because in enunciation, it's as if you really can construct thoughts and praises and ideas about God and tefillah that really man has no idea of. Because he really doesn't know God's essence. And he really has no right, in an objective sense, to really enunciate anything before God. And the only reason he's allowed to is because the Torah, has allowed him. It's given him a mati, or a permission to do it. But really, it really doesn't make sense. Because see, everything you're going to say is going to be really meaningless. Because all it feels is going to be predicated on your idea of God. And you don't really have an idea of God. So there's a certain absurdity to it. But of course, it's necessary. So the Torah allows you. But one time a year, the Torah mandates a different kind of tefillah that you should really understand, that really you have no knowledge of God. And the only thing you could say is simply, you could just express through a cry the nature of your own existence. That's the shofar. It's the ultimate tefillah philosophically. It's where man realizes, I can't say anything before God. Which makes sense to do that on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of Malchus. So that's how shofar really is a tefillah. It's the cry. That's the only bakasha and the techina that you have a right to express before God. That simply I'm a needy existence. And I cry because, when do you cry? You cry when you have loss, when you are not in control of a situation, and you're in need. So that's the idea of the shofar as tefillah. That's really the shofar as tefillah. And that is mandated one time a year, on Rosh Hashanah. That's how it's tefillah. So there's two tefillahs. There's the tefillah b'lashon, b'peh, and then there's a tefillah al yedei, the instrument of the shofar. Those are the two tefillahs. And that's what Rashi's saying. And that's really a basic, essential idea in shofar. That it's a din of tefillah. It's a din tefillah. You see? Which, of course, now you can understand. I mean, I didn't ask the question before, but now we can answer a question we didn't ask, which is, what is the mitzvah of shofar doing in the middle of tefillah? We don't perform mitzvos in the middle of tefillah. Tefillah's tefillah. Tefillah's not a time for mitzvos. But the answer now is very simple. Because shofar is tefillah. It's not foreign to the action of tefillah. Other mitzvahs have no place. Tefillah is tefillah, mitzvahs are mitzvahs. But here, the very nature of this mitzvah is tefillah, and that's why it's in the musaf. It has to be there. Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. I understand that the idea of bent is more appealing. I'm not explaining that machlokas. There's the other side. Let me put this. At this point, I'm not defining that machlokas. What's the better way? In other words, the pasuk in Eicha seems to indicate that tefillah is not done in a bent position, but it's nisal of aveno el kapayim el kelba shemayim. I mean, that needs to be examined, but I don't care which side you hold, it's a din of tefillah. It's because that's the appropriate thing for tefillah. And therefore, the shofar should reflect that idea. I think if you analyze that machlokas, you'll come to the conclusion that both ideas are true. The only question is, which one should really dominate your posture and tefillah? In other words, the concepts behind bent and straight really are both true. But the question is, which one, you know, should be the one more reflected in our tefillahs? But I'm not getting into that now. I'm saying, I don't care whatever that idea is, whatever that machlokas is about tefillah, I'm just saying the bottom line is, according to what Rashi's showing you, is it's because the shofar is a din of tefillah. And therefore, the shofar has to reflect that. But I'm not getting into the machlokas. So now, with this concept, now we can understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Because there's one basic rule And that is that in the first three brachos, you cannot have tefillah and bakasha. The first three brachos are relegated purely to shvacho shomakom, to shevach to God. There's no place to inject into the first three brachos tefillah. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that you can't be tokeya after kedushas Hashem because tekiyos are tefillah. And since they're tefillah and bakasha, ulezikaron, they cannot be associated with the first three brachos. That's why you can't be tokeya. You see? And now there's something else you could deduce from this, which is that it must be, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that the very idea of Malchius is Shevach. That Malchius is Shevach. And that's why he insisted that Malchius should be in Kedushas Hashem. And it makes perfect sense. Malchius, HaMelech HaKadosh. It makes a lot of sense. That is Shvacho Shomakom, that he's the Melech. It's an expansion of the Kedushas Hashem. And that's why it's there. And it also explains why you can't be Tokeya. You have to wait. The first time you could be Tokeya is when you get into the middle brachos after the first three. Then you have a right to be misfalel for tefillah bakasha. Then you can sound the shofar. So that's why he says the first time you could be tokeya is going to be after the kedushas hayom. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri sounds very good. And now we could take a stab at the other kasha. Why does the Mishnah and the Braisa and the Gemara, why do they have to elaborate and tell you the whole Seder? Oh, one second, before I tell you that, one second. I should tell you a good point made by Joey Lechter. Because if you look at the grammar in the Mishnah, there's something very subtle here. It says like this. Let's read it again. Seder brachos. Okay, I'm back on Lamed Beis. Seder brachos. Omer. Avos. Gvuros. Ukedush Sashem. Vekolel Malchios Imahen. Veino Takea. What is strange grammatically there? Somebody? If you look at Rabbi Akiva's opinion, he says, the kolel malchias im kedushas hayom. That's your contrast. Rabbi Akiva says, in your kolel malchias with the kedushas hayom. What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say? Why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say, the kolel malchias imahen? That's plural. He should have said v'kol malchias im kedushas Hashem. Because what he's showing you is v'kol malchias imahen. It's that malchias is shevach, and it belongs as part of the first three brachas in that section. He wanted to show you that malchias is there because it's shevach and it belongs there. And that's exactly the same reason why you're not tokeya. You see? By saying imahen, he really shows you the underlying idea. That why is it there? Because it's shevach. And because it's shevach, it belongs with the first three. Of course, which of the first three? Yeah, no doubt it belongs with Kedush Hashem. Because that's the particular, you know, theme that it expands on. But he's showing you the underlying nature of it by saying it's Kolel Imahen. What's Imahen? Oh, the three brachas of Shavach. That's their underlying unity, is that there's Shvachos Shel Makom. That's why it says Imahen. Okay. All right, now back to the other question. So why does it say the whole Seder? Why does it say the Seder? Why does it have the Seder? So the answer is like this. That you see, the idea of the Seder Brachos, it really goes back to the basic idea of the format of tefillah. Namely, the person only has a right to say the middle brachos, the brachos of tefillah ubakasha. He's only allowed to do that provided that he first begins with shavach and then concludes with hodah. That's what gives him the right to forward his requests and make petitions before God, is the fact that he starts off with Shavach and concludes with Hodah. That's the format. So you might think like this. Maybe you're only chayev to enunciate Shavach and Hodah when you're involved in a tefillah of an enunciation, where you're enunciating bakashos and formulating words. But in shofar, which is the yabava, it's the tefillah without words, maybe you don't need that format. Maybe that format shouldn't be there. Because the tefillah itself is going to be a tefillah without words. It's going to be a tefillah just of a call. So maybe Shevach Van Hodah doesn't apply. That's only when you're going to enunciate specific requests with real words and real petitions. But if it's going to be a tefillah of a call shofar, of a cry, maybe it doesn't require Shevach Van Hodah, which themselves are going to be enunciated. Because there is no Shevach without words, and there's no Hodah without words. Kamash Malan, no. The Mishnah's telling you that in order to have the tefillah of shofar, it too requires the same format. It requires the format of Shevach Hodah. And that's why it has to show you that those ideas, in particular, in Masachas Rosh Hashanah. Because maybe you would think it might not be appropriate. The answer is it's necessary. Man never has a right to engage in tefillah, even in the tefillah of a simple cry. He has no right to do that without enunciating Shevach Vodah. In other words, he's going to have to, in the Shevach Vodah, so to speak, stoop to a, in a certain sense, a lower format, meaning one where he's saying words that really objectively are not really praise of God, because he doesn't really understand God. And they're not really thanks to God, because again, he doesn't understand God. But nevertheless, there's no choice. And in order for man to be a mispalel, even with a shofar, he requires Shevach Vodah in that context. He has to be mispalel in the context of Shevach Vodah. And that's what the Mishnah is telling him. So now, to get into Rabbi Akiva, to really understand the Machlokas, we've made Rabbi Yochanan so good, you have to really do the Gemara. But this Gemara, when you first read it, sounds so strange, it demands an explanation. So let's take a look. The Gemara says like this, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yochanan, Im eino tokeya lamalchias lamahu mazkir, that if you're not going to qualify your Malchias with Tekios, so why are you mentioning them all together? Why are you saying the Malchias? So the Gemara says, Lama hu mazkir? Rachman amar itkar. What do you mean, Rabbi Akiva, why should he mention Malchias, Zechronos, and Shofros? What do you mean? The Torah said you have to mention them. And the Gemara is going to prove that later through the Pesukim of the Torah to show you that Malchius, you have to say. It's not based on whether or not you blow shofar. The Torah said you have to say these things. How could you ask him, Lama hu mazkir, Rachmana maridkar? The Torah said you have to mention it. That's it. Ella, so rather, what was Rabbi Akiva's question? Ella, lama eser, lema tesha. Rather, Rabbi Akiva's question was like this, that if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you're not being tokeya, then why are you insistent on mentioning 10 psukim? Because the Malchias, the Chronos, and Shofros, each one of them has to have 10 psukim. You have to quote 10 psukim about each theme respectively. So Rabbi Akiva's question was not why are you mentioning it, that you have to do. But what he was bothered is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that even though he's not being tokeya, he still insists that the Malchias should have 10 psukim. And Rabbi Akiva's question is, that's crazy. It shouldn't be 10. If you're not being tokeya, then you shouldn't require 10 psukim. Lema tesha. You should say only 9 psukim. Da ho'il vishtani ishtani. That since your Malchias is different, that is, you're not being tokeya at its conclusion, then it should be different in how many psukim you should require. It shouldn't require 10 psukim. It should be less than 10 psukim. That was Rabbi Akiva's question. In other words, Rabbi Akiva was not bothered, strangely enough, Rabbi Akiva wasn't bothered that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said the Malchias in the Kedushas Hashem. But rather, that didn't bother him. Even though Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri argued with him, and right, because Rabbi Akiva holds he should say it in the Kedushas Hayom, but that didn't bother him. He was okay with that. You want to say Malchias in Kedushas Hashem? Fine. But what he was bothered was, but why are you saying 10 psukim if you're not going to blow the shofar at the end of it? You should only say 9 psukim. That was his question. And if you're like me, when you first hear that question, it makes no sense to you at all. What kind of question? Right? The question seems to be totally like a non-essential question. He should have asked him, what are you doing Malchias and Kedushas Hashem? That sounds like a real question. What do you mean? Who cares? 9 psukim, 10 psukim, what's that got to do with anything? What's one got to do with the other? You're supposed to mention Malchias. Malchias is supposed to be 10 psukim. Who cares if you blow shofar? No, but since you don't have shofar, don't have 10 psukim, only have 9 psukim. What kind of concept is that? Hol vishtani, since it's different, it should be really different. Since it's different, it doesn't have tekiyas, it should be different that you don't have 10 psukim. What's the logic of that question? What's he talking about? Sounds like a question without any sense. That's the problem. The problem is understanding, first of all, what is Rabbi Akiva's question? And the question, as I mentioned before, in the Gemara, could not be literally like the way the Mishnah, you want to read it. It can't be lama hu mazkir, like why are you mentioning Malchias at all? That can't be. Because Malchias does not inherently require tekiyos. The Torah says you have to say Malchias on this day. That's it. But the question was rather, why do you have 10 psukim? You should only have 9. What kind of question is that? Okay. And once we understand that, maybe we'll be able to understand the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And yeah, so we'll hold off for next week.